The Gross Profit Podcast is your one-stop shop on the path to profitability. Each week, we share authentic advice on the positive, practical steps you can take to make the company you love more profitable. If you're looking for a positive plan to help you avoid common spending mistakes, control costs, and increase your profits, then this is the place for you. I'm Ryan Cowden, and this week we're joined by our host, James Kennedy of ProcurementExpress.com and Mike McGrath of Arvo. In this episode of the Gross Profit Podcast, James and Mike discuss ways you can recognize and prepare for invoice redirect fraud. Between 2013 and 2015, a team operating out of Lithuania stole over $100 million from Facebook and Google. Perhaps the most shocking detail is that they didn't steal this money secretly. They asked for it directly in emails and invoices. By impersonating a company that Facebook and Google were used to working with, this team received large sums of money straight from these giant tech companies. This scam, officially known as invoice redirect fraud, represents a real threat to modern companies. In today's fast-paced world, companies may not be taking the time to double-check every invoice and email that comes across their path. Thankfully, there are practical steps you can take to mitigate these risks. On this episode, you'll hear the different forms invoice redirect fraud can take. This fraud commonly occurs when companies receive fake emails and invoices that are similar to their actual clients. Next, we'll hear some real examples of this behavior, such as creating fake accounts that spring up and disappear as soon as the money is received. Then we'll cover ways fraudulent actors might be accomplishing these scams. These scams might be the result of hacking, but often take the form of fake contracts or purchase orders, as well as requests to change details on invoices. After that, we'll go over some practical steps you can take to protect yourself and your company. It will take more time, but if you insist on two sources of verification and go over changes on the phone with your clients, you can do a lot to prevent this sort of fraud. James and Mike will cover the importance of being proactive and preventing this. It's important to act quickly, or the money might be gone forever. And finally, James and Mike will also share some insurance options that might protect you and cover some of the most negative outcomes that have occurred because of these scams. If you're looking for some cutting-edge practices that will protect you and your company from fraudulent invoices, then this is one episode you won't want to miss. There's a lot of actionable advice in this episode, so grab something to write with because you're going to want to take notes. As always, I'll be back on the other side to wrap up any loose ends. So without any further ado, here's our conversation with James and Mike.
Welcome to the Gross Profit Podcast. My name is James Kennedy. I'm the CEO, co-founder of ProcurementExpress.com. We help hundreds of companies spend billions of dollars each year. And on this podcast, we bring you the latest news, tips, and advice on creating a more profitable company, i.e. cutting costs, reducing overhead, overall making your company thrive. So today, I'm honored to have with me as a guest, Mike McGrath. Mike is one of Ireland's foremost procurement consultants. Works with a full range of companies, public and private sector. And thanks very much for being on the call today, Mike. Maybe you could just introduce yourself a little bit.
Certainly, James. I'm delighted to be here. Thank you very much. As you mentioned, I represent Arvo, a procurement business in Ireland. We help organizations both in the public and private sector to reduce risks around procurement, reduce costs, and improve compliance. So delighted to be here and help your colleagues and network improve the profit in their business.
Great. Now that we've paid the bills, let's have a chat. Today, we are going to talk about how one guy stole $99 million from Facebook and how could that potentially happen to your business as well. I guess your business would need to have $99 million in the first place. But this is a very interesting topic, Mike.
It is. It's very timely. There's been a lot of media attention over the last couple of years of, I suppose, fraudulent payments or embezzlement. And I think the technical term across the police force is invoice redirect fraud. So where companies are, I suppose, under attack from people that are soliciting fake contracts, fake invoices, forging purchase orders, etc. And the whole idea is diverting cash from a legitimate business to a non-legitimate business, a non-legitimate source. So it's corporate theft, and it's happening throughout the world. Facebook and Google were both affected between 2013 and 2015. Over $100 million was stolen by one guy, which is amazing. And he went to a lot of extent to get that funds transferred from those significant tech players into his bank account. Now, I believe he has been apprehended and extradited to the States, and they've recovered half the money. I'm not sure what happened with the other half, but
it blows my mind, this, because I mean, there's so many things that you think would have, I mean, stealing $1,000, I can see how you can get away with. Sure, there's all sorts of checks that must have gone off. First of all, $100 million coming into this Lithuanian guy's bank account. Did no one ever notice that they were missing 99 months? Well, someone else must have been missing $99 million worth of services, right? That's how these frauds normally work. You sort of impersonate someone else, or was this just totally phantom services that was he was providing?
My understanding, it's been a bit of both. So he cloned an actual supplier of Google and Facebook. He pretended to be a hardware manufacturer in Asia that they both used. He did get access to legitimate invoices, and he changed the details to suit his entity. He set up a company, forged the entire aspects of it, and had emails, contracts, purchase orders, you name it. He actually had emails from Facebook and Google executives to other people in Google and Facebook saying that this needs to be paid urgently. So it's a very sophisticated attack. It's the nature of online or IT scams at the moment. They're getting more and more sophisticated. And what purports to be true is not always true. So this is an example which obviously is affecting Google and Facebook. We've seen it more locally with smaller businesses where $50,000 to $200,000 has been stolen. And it's similar approaches take place. Sometimes it's a request to change bank details. Sometimes it's a request from someone in finance that they're superior. There's one Irish public sector body who got a new CEO. And within a couple of days, he sent an email to the accounts and finance team to pay a supplier XYZ immediately. And when it turned out that he never actually sent that email, it was completely forged. But the accounts and finance didn't know that. They just paid it as it seemed to come from the new CEO, and no one was going to question him.
So it's not just, I mean, it makes you despair a little bit. Like if Facebook and Google can get taken out with this, smaller organizations with less resources are also at risk, I guess, as well. So in that example you talked about there, I mean, is this something that you have seen your own clients fall victim to, or?
Yeah, we've heard of cases like this, and we know that it happens, and there's different variations of it. One client of ours had a supplier who legitimately changed physical location. So they changed their office location, which was probably in the media, and somebody decided to contact their clients and say that they're also changing their bank details, which if you weren't really studious about the whole thing might actually happen. So they changed the bank details on file and processed some payments to these new bank details, which were illegitimate, which were fake. The funds were transferred. And it's only when the actual company came looking for their invoice or sent through a statement a month later, it turned out that the payments were made, but not to the right company. And in that situation, typically the funds are gone. If it's noticed quite quickly, if it's noticed within 24 to 48 hours, there may be some recourse. And I know that police forces throughout the globe have a digital detectives these days working on these cases. So it may be that the funds could be recovered. But if it's a couple of weeks, then they're typically gone.
So in order to do this, let's say I wanted to target Arvo and pay for my holidays this year. I basically go down. It's as simple as I go down, have a meeting with Mike in his office or hang out with you somehow, wait for you to put down your phone, pick up your phone. Now I have your email. Now I can email your finance department with a, I guess, legitimate request, or I can just spoof your email in the first place.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now you don't have to come to visit the Arvo office. Like a hacker can get to the email server or get to the online access to different systems and purport to be an employee of Arvo or a supplier of Arvo. You could possibly through email, it's not the most secure communication, get access to contracts, purchase orders, invoices. You could change the details. You can make a request to change the details. It all takes a bit of time, but no doubt, I'm sorry to say it, we don't have 99 million for your holidays, but if...
Well, I mean, you see, I don't know if you've seen in the news recently about these deep fakes. Now you can get videos of people. You can put one person's face on someone else's, make a video. So yes, if you can do that, the repercussions are terrifying. But even just with your email, there's a lot of damage. I mean, what are the steps you can take to combat this risk in an organization?
Well, we've been doing it, and it's about better management of your suppliers and just even your own security. It's reviewing the steps involved to set up a supplier. It's looking at what checks and controls you can make around changing bank details, changing supplier invoices, changing addresses. So typically, it's quite simple in the sense that if you do a practical step, one thing that actually we would suggest to do is if there is any request from any suppliers to change their details, that you verify it with them over the phone. So if it comes in on email, you can accept it and acknowledge it, but verify it over the phone that it's actually a legitimate request. Or if it comes by the phone, you verify it by email, vice versa. So there's this kind of double checking or two-way verification that it's a legitimate request. It takes a bit more time. And obviously, if you have a lot of suppliers and there's changes happening, it takes a bit of time to do it. But again, the costs to do that are much better than paying somebody incorrectly.
Well, it all depends on how much time and resource you have into managing all this. Because let's face it, I have not spoken to most of my suppliers over the phone before, right? Especially if I'm in the finance team, I'm not dealing with the suppliers. I can ring them up and ask them, is this really your banking details? But who knows, maybe my phone system's been hacked. But yeah, I guess your point is that you need two points of authentication independent of one another. So just like when someone rings you up on the phone and start asking for your social security number or your date of birth, don't give them that information. You have to be able to know exactly who's calling you.
Exactly. Exactly, yeah. Like, it's going to take a bit of time, but it's definitely worth it until an alternative payment method that's legitimate emerges.
Well, it's funny because there's at the moment we're writing a book on Procurement Express about all the different types of spending mistakes that can be made. And it's really in the process of doing that, it struck me that there's categories of big spending mistakes which really impact on ballooning costs. Now, we all know about, getting a good price, getting three quotes in. But there's this other category of risks which are there, which can, in some cases, be big enough, significant enough to certainly damage the company, if not destroy it, is that the things that you, if you're not proactive about them, you are at risk of this type of fraud. So can, even though, it's easy to put a process in place for, let's say, getting three quotes, because that kind of makes sense because you do it every day, I guess you have to convince the management that it's worth investing in the process to guard against these type of risks before they happen. Because after they happen, it's too late, right?
Yes. And we would see the companies that actually have been targeted are more, obviously much more astute and clued into this and more proactive than those that have not.
Yeah.
It's very, very noticeable from our engagement with them and the process and policies and procedures they have. You can actually almost tell without knowing what has happened in the past by some of the processes and steps involved. And again, that's just part of the learning. It's unfortunate there has been a cost for them to put in best practice as opposed to us profiting the companies that they should have better practices and they're kind of going, well, that's not really going to happen. But
well, it's human nature. Human nature. You're only going to deal with the big issues when after, once you've been bitten effectively.
Yeah.
I guess you got to look at your company and decide, well, what could you afford to lose? What percentage of spend can you afford to take a hit on? Which suppliers are you really cutting the big checks with? So perhaps you should be categorizing your spend, your suppliers into the ones with the highest volume. Those are the ones that are obviously highest exposure to risk in terms of this type of fraud. So it might not be practical to, if you have thousands of suppliers, it might not be practical to validate the payment details in every change, but certainly on your top 10 or 100 suppliers, they should be treated differently to everyone else because they have the ability to make significant impact on your business. Is there any sort of insurance you can get to guard against this sort of thing?
There is a trade risk insurance, but I'm not sure if it covers this type of payment or this type of crime. There's trade risk insurance that if I source and buy goods from any part of the globe and I ship them to Europe and they don't arrive, then there's insurance against that, whether they were well off the ship or whether there was theft involved or whether they were never shipped in the first place. There is insurance around that, which is quite commonplace. But with regards to this type of payment, I'm actually not sure.
Yeah, I know there's another guest I've had who mentioned a company he was dealing with had errors and omissions insurance, and this is in the US, and that did help them out when they got hit for this in the past. So it's probably worth talking to your insurance agent to see what can be done for that. What's the most negative impact you've seen for a company which has been hit with this kind of attack?
It's the funds disappearing. It's having no recourse if it's a matter of weeks. The bank account is closed. The money is gone. There's no trail. And having then to go and pay the legitimate supplier the invoice that was thought was paid, it's obviously the cash flow impact.
I hadn't even thought of that because you're not just losing the initial amount. You're still liable to pay that other supplier. So you're actually, you're paying for something in that case at least. But
yeah, Yeah, the money's gone. It's theft. They're just taking the money out of their bank account. And unless it's very noticed very, very quickly, it seems to be that it's very hard to recover afterwards. We have had cases and we're aware of clients who've had 50% or 60% of the funds recovered within 24 hours, but it's very proactive stuff and it's really getting out to the local police force and Interpol as quickly as possible to get that back.
That's the thing. I mean, most of these are cross-country payments,
correct?
Right? That's the symptom of this. So maybe that's another warning sign if you see these cross-country. Now, especially in Europe, the borders are so open, the banking is totally interconnected. It's pretty usual to be making cross-border payments within Europe, certainly. So, yeah, but you got to keep an eye out for them. So, Mike, for listeners for this podcast who may be at risk or their company may be at risk of this type of activity, what's the simplest advice that you could give them that they could use in their business today?
There's a number of steps. I mentioned already the fact that you check any changes in controls or changes to supplier invoices online and offline. So if you get an email request to make a change, you pick up the phone and find out if it's legitimate. But also even the fact of using purchase orders, as you'd know a lot about, James, at Procurement Express. The fact that there is a contractual document in place that an invoice comes in that can be matched to it, it helps a person just impersonating an email or an invoice. At least it's more factual. Also, separating the duties around accounts payable and accounts receivable, and actually the person that is managing the supplier, just making sure that there is approvals and steps and that it's a legitimate paper trail which can be verified, and be that on a system or be it through email. Paying actual legitimate invoices and original invoices as opposed to statements is important as well. Statements can be fabricated, and certainly the timing of those can often trick people as well, especially when the accounts function may not be hands-on in terms of what the project is. So there's a couple of tips there. And again, reviewing the overall process of setting up suppliers and processing payments, having a look at the procurement policy, if there's none in place, put a quick policy in place to manage all those steps and make sure that there's common, sensible, practical steps involved to make sure that legitimate suppliers are paid effectively and the fraud disappears.
Great. Okay. Well, thanks very much for that. I guess that comes down to training oftentimes for your staff. If you are wondering how to train your staff, I have a resource available for you to help you with that. If you go to book.procurementexpress.com, you'll find this topic along with 49 other topics related to improving the profitability of your business, where we cover fraud, embezzlement, and a range of other topics. There's a free chapter available specifically on embezzlement, actually. So I'd recommend the listeners go and download that chapter. And if at the very least, give that to their finance team to read over so that they can take advantage of some of the advice provided by Mike there. Thanks very much, Mike. Where can people find you online, and what sort of person specifically can you help the most?
Yeah, I'm on LinkedIn personally, I suppose. And we work with a lot of CPOs and CFOs, so the head of finance or head of procurement. Obviously, the website as well, arvo.ie, has a range of service offerings.
Great. Okay. Well, thank you very much, Mike. That's very insightful. Thank you very much for taking the time to speak with me today. That's all from the Gross Profit podcast. Again, check out our book, book.procurementexpress.com, and I'll see you next time.
Sounds good. Thank you, James.
All right, folks, there you have it. That wraps up our conversation with James Kennedy and Mike McGrath. They shared a ton of valuable insights and advice today on how to spot and prevent invoice redirect fraud. We also shared some tools and resources, which will all be linked up in the show notes. I hope you enjoyed our conversation. Please consider subscribing, sharing with a friend, or leaving us a review in your favorite podcast directory. Until next time, best of luck in all that you do, and we'll look forward to seeing you on the next episode of the Store Builders Podcast.